Thank you, Amanda, for singing for us. And also, this is, I really like that song. It's because there's a lot of kind of contemporary music that is always just so upbeat, right? Everything's great and perfect and wonderful, right? And then the problem is, right, like in the world we're living in right now, oftentimes the world doesn't seem great and wonderful and amazing, does it? Right? Yeah. Oftentimes we find ourselves in the place where we want God to part the waters and we're saying, please do this, and it doesn't happen, and we're left with a question. What are we going to do, right? And oftentimes we talk about faith and belief, and really, and you'll hear me probably harp on this, and I apologize, but I think that when we talk about faith, what we're really talking about is trust. We're not talking about, do we say the right things? Do we have the right set of beliefs? Can I affirm the right things about Christ and about God? But instead we're saying, do I trust in the one who came and lived and died and was raised again for me? Do I trust that when the waters aren't parted, that God is still with me? Do I trust that when the mountain isn't moved, that maybe God has a plan for me to go around the mountain, right? That's what it is to be a Christian to me. And I thank you for the anthem. That is a wonderful reminder for us. So our scripture lesson for this morning, we're continuing on in Matthew chapter 22, is verse 15 through 22. And this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. So, then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and so show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So, this morning you may have seen that the title of the sermon is intentionally provocative, right? We have, we've been arguing in politics over people releasing their tax returns, haven't we? Right? It goes on and on and on, right? One side says, you need to do this because you're hiding something. The other side says, oh, you, why haven't you done this, right? And it's on and on and on. And I don't mean to make light of what's going on, because it actually does matter, right? We just finished up a week at SMC of our trustees meetings. And so for those of you who don't know, the trustees at like a college are the folks who, they're not like trustees in a church, right? The trustees here handle the physical plant of the building, right? Make sure the lights are on, make sure that we're paying our bills, that kind of thing, or that we're, fixing things that are broken. Well, trustees at a college are intended to be donors, large donors, and also folks that are really heavily invested in every aspect of the operating of the institution. Well, one of those things they have to pay attention to is the money, right? Who's giving? How much do we have? Are we doing? Are being good stewards of what we have, right? What's our budget like? That sort of thing. And one of our folks was talking about what they call, he's a doctor in his other life, and he talked about a wallet biopsy. And he said, he said he's challenging himself and others to take whatever they had given to political causes in this year, right? And next year, put that same amount towards charitable causes. He said, because clearly I didn't need that money if I was willing to throw it at a political candidate, right? Okay? And he said, so it might as well go to something good, right? Yeah. And so I thought, what a wonderful way. And it got me thinking about what a wallet biopsy might actually look like, right? Because it's really easy and it's really cheap to say things, isn't it? Right? The Pharisees and the people who were questioning Jesus were really good at saying things, right? Saying the right thing. In fact, I could do the political thing and say the right things, right? Babies are good. Dogs are cute, right? Freedom is important, right? Now, all these things are true, and yet basically meaningless, right? Because I can say something that sounds really good, and then if I do something opposite, it doesn't really matter, does it? Amen. And so when you want to find out what someone's priorities are, you do a wallet biopsy, and that is, you see where they spend their money, right? If you, and it's the same thing with a nation, a state, a church, an organization, right? So if we say that, if I say that my most important focus in life is helping others, but you look at my finances and you find out that I don't give any money to help anybody, then am I really telling the truth? No, right? Okay. If I say, I really believe in X, but there's not a dime that goes to it, then I don't really mean it, right? If I say, if we say as a nation or a state, we really want to take care of our most vulnerable people, old folks, sick people, things like that, and yet we look at our budget, and our budget says this little sliver is for that, but this humongous sliver is for everything else, then what does our priority actually say, right? So Jesus is in a time in which the you think we argue a lot now, okay? I want to tell you a little bit about first century Palestine, which is what we now call Israel. Okay, so this was an area that was under foreign occupation. The Romans were in charge, and the Romans were there. Why? Because they were more powerful. Because Rome had what was called the legions. They had large military, and they would sweep across places and take over. And as long as you didn't cause too much trouble, they were pretty good. And as long as you did what? Paid your taxes. You could be grumpy and you could make noise, but if you paid your taxes, you were okay. Why? Because they needed the money. The empire needed the money to function. What did they do with that money? Well, some of the stuff they did was good, right? If you've ever been to Disney World, you know that the Romans were the ones that built the roads all across the world, right? If you ride the big ball at Epcot, okay? They built the roads that were all across Europe and the Middle East and most of Africa, right? The roads were built by the Romans. Now, that doesn't happen without taxes, right? And so this money that the empire collected was not all for bad stuff. Now, a lot of it went to buy shields and spears and swords and things like that for the legions, absolutely. But you have the people in Israel. And some of the people in Israel said, we got to go along to get along, right? These people are in charge. The only thing that's going to happen if we rise up against them is we're going to get killed. And they said, just leave it alone. Do what you got to do. There were others who willingly and happily went along with what the Romans were doing. Think about King Herod, right? King Herod was what's known as a collaborator. He said, you know what? If it's good for my family and we get to have lots of palaces and money, then absolutely go Rome, right? And then there were people like the tax collectors. Notice why someone like Zacchaeus or somebody like Matthew, the tax collector, right, in the one of the disciples, why they were so kind of despised. They were so despised because they would come to your house and tell you, Caesar needs your money. And not only would they take the money that Caesar needed, but they would take a little extra and put it in their pocket, right? So they were allied with the occupying power because it helped them. And then there were these other people. Remember the disciple Simon, not the one that became Peter, but the other Simon, Simon the Zealot. Okay, he was part of a group called the Zealots, right? You might imagine. And the Zealots were like political revolutionaries. Zealots were known for starting riots. They wanted to kick the Romans out at any cost. They idolized past heroes of Israel who kicked out oppressors. And they were known as Sicarii. Now, a Sicarii is a fancy word for a knife, a curved knife. Okay, and they would sneak into crowds that were, and they would incite those crowds to be anti-government, but in this case, the government was Rome, right? to say, kick out the Romans, start a war, da, 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 right? And then they would sneak up to some important Roman official, take that curved knife, stab them, and sneak out, right? Okay? So, just to give you a little background, okay? So the zealots were on one side trying to start a war at any by any means possible. And on the other, on one end, you had Herod and the tax collectors and people who said, you know what? This is pretty good for me. I don't care if it's bad for other people. And then in the middle, you had a whole bunch of people who were saying, you know, I really wish that Israel was free, but I don't know what I can do about it, right? And so the Pharisees send their students to go and bother Jesus, to try to trick him into saying the wrong thing. This is, I mean, I can just imagine this is like one of the debates, right? Or a town hall where somebody's got their camera up, their cell phone, and they're ready to catch somebody in their gotcha moment, right? Amen. I want to see if you'll say the wrong thing. I'm going to ask you a question like, when did you stop beating your wife? Right? Or how long have you been beating your wife? That's the question, right? Because, you know, however you answer it, you're wrong, right? You say last week, oh, why did you beat her so late? You know, never. Oh, you're still doing it, right? You know, it's one of those things that's intended to trap Jesus. Because either way, he's going to make somebody mad, right? He's going to go, if he says, you know, don't pay your taxes to Caesar, then they've got him, right? They can go to the Roman authorities and say, Jesus is trying to start stuff. You've got to arrest this guy. He's messing with your purse strings. And how do you make people mad? You go for their wallet, amen, right? It's amazing how many people will go from loving and kind to vicious and mean if you start messing with their money. Right? And that's what they were hoping for. They said, you know, hey, the Romans are great, and they'll let you do what you want until you just stop paying your taxes. And so they wanted Jesus to say, don't pay any taxes to Rome. But if Jesus said, yes, you need to pay your taxes to Rome, then what they were going to do is say, see, Jesus is a collaborator. He's no better than Herod. He's just like those tax collectors. He wants to take your money and give it to the bad guys, right? Now, does this sound like the commercials you see on TV?
Amen.
I had to turn the football game off yesterday because my team was terrible yesterday, but... But I also wanted to turn it off because of the political ads, right? Yeah. Things taken out of context, right? Sayings that didn't actually make sense, jump cuts in videos and things like that, right? To say, I think, and they're in a different position and they say something that sounds really awful. You're like, oh my gosh, right? Well, clearly he didn't say it in that order, right? Okay. Never mind. But this is what they were trying to do about Jesus, right? This is what they were trying to do to Jesus. And Jesus says, let's go to my picture. Jesus says, instead of giving them an answer that they can then take and get him in trouble, he says, show me the coin. And so they run and they get him a denarius. It looks something like this. Okay. And he said, whose picture is on this? And they said, well, it's the emperor's picture. And he said, okay. And whose title is on there? The emperor's title. Okay. So, first of all, the picture, the dude here, right, is the emperor. And the words on the side said, Emperor Tiberius, son of the divine, what was his dad's name? Augustus. Okay? So Caesar Augustus was his dad. Tiberius was the current emperor because Augustus had died. Okay? But notice what it said. This is Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. So what the coin proclaims is that Tiberius is the son of God. Who else do we hear being talked about as the son of God? It's kind of odd to think about, right? Now, when Jesus goes around and proclaims himself as the son of God, it's not an accident. Because he knew that there were people out there who believed, honestly, that the emperor was the son of God. Or the son of a god. It was what's called the Roman emperor cult. Okay? And what that means is that was their civic religion. That if you talk about, people will tell you in history class that the religion of Rome was polytheism or something like that. They'll say, oh, they were a polytheistic nation. Actually, they were a monotheistic religion that worshipped one thing, Rome. They worshipped the power that Rome had. They said, yeah, we may leave offerings for Artemis or somebody like that, one of these other Roman gods, but really, the ones we really trust in is the emperor. And so even on their coins, they bore this idolatrous message. This is Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. And you may say, well, that's just silly, right? How ridiculous that they might worship a nation or an empire or a king. And yet, look at our nation, right? Think of how many people worship a political party or a certain person. Or they may not say that they do, but then look at the ways that we act, right? The fella in our trustees made a good point. He basically gave offerings to who? To a political party or a political candidate, right? Where do offerings usually go? To God, right? Where are our offerings due? Our offerings are due to Christ. So if we say that we worship Christ, but then we give all that we have to somebody else, who are we really worshiping? Amen. Somebody else, right? Yep. That's uncomfortable, but it's true. If we say that we can't possibly make time to worship Christ, but we can make time to be at a rally for one thing or the other, right? Which one is then in a higher priority for us? The one that we can make the time to be at, right? And so on and on and on down the line, we are not all that different from Rome. The overwhelming religion in America right now is worship of the nation. If you want to make people mad, right? You challenge something about America, right? Think about how many people were really mad at, like, the football players who knelt during the national anthem, right? Many of you may still have a visceral reaction to that sort of thing, right? And I'm not saying it's because you are an adherent to just our nation, our national worship. But I am saying that we all are caught up in it. We're all caught up in this idea that that we are somehow better or somehow special. Because of, by virtue of where we've been born. And we, hopefully, don't put up any political leader as divine, okay? But sometimes we talk about them like they are, right? I have friends on Facebook that I see talking about President Trump like he's the Messiah. I see people on Facebook talking about Joe Biden like he's like Nehemiah or something, and he's going to restore the temple, right? Neither of them are those things, right? They're just men with political differences and all that sort of things, but they are not religious figures. And we have elevated these sorts of things to life and death importance, and we have made them more important to us in our hearts and our minds than our religion that we claim to be, right? Jesus says, who's on the picture? The emperor. He made this, it's his. Give it back to him. This is not what we need. And after all, think about it. There were good things done with those taxes, right? You wanted to be able to get between Rome or between Jerusalem and Bethlehem quickly? Thank the Romans. You wanted to be able to get water quickly from one place to the other? Thank the Romans. That was done with taxes. We, especially in America now, we have kind of this heritage of not liking taxes, right? We threw a bunch of tea in a harbor because we didn't like taxes, right? But then we immediately started collecting taxes on behalf of our new nation, right? And they're not bad because without them, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of things, right? Imagine if each person was responsible for the piece of road in front of their house. You think we got a lot of potholes now. Right? There are certain things that collective action does better, right? And so we have to, right? We have to be willing to accept a certain amount of things that we don't like, right? Giving away money that we feel like is ours in order for everyone to be able to have certain services. Those are good things. And there are things that the church is not, for example, equipped to offer, right? We don't have the framework or the setup to be able to make sure that programs like WIC are funded, right? With each church. The fact that that's done through a governmental agency is more efficient and is helpful. Now, off of the civics lesson, back instead to the scripture. When we talk about this, right, Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. The point here is that God is about more than just taxes. That God is the ruler above all, right? Whose image does the coin bear? The emperor. Whose image do you bear? Oh, come on, this is Genesis like 1. Whose image do you bear? Who are you created in the image of? God, right? God created each and every one of us in God's image. And so, if the coin belongs to the emperor because it has his image on it, and we have God's image on us, to whom do we belong? God. We belong to God. So everything that we are belongs to God. And so we offer that percentage to the empire. But we offer all that we are to Christ. Amen. Because bearing our image, he came and he lived and he knew our life, right? Bearing our image, he suffered and hung on the cross. Bearing our image, he died and descended to the dead. And bearing our image, he rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? All of this is Christianity 101, and yet the emperor, all he did was roads and aqueducts and protection. That's great, and that's worth some money, but is it worth all that you have? No. Christ gave all that he was, gave us all that we have, bearing our image to new life. And so our responsibility is to give full and total allegiance just to Christ. Amen. So that when this world tells you you have to be a follower, a disciple of whatever that is, of the Republicans, of the Democrats, of the this or the that or the other, of money, of sex, of power, whatever that is, you say, no, I'm only a disciple of Christ. That's the only one I follow. Because my image, the image that I have, is the image of God. Amen. Given to me as a gift. Our money, as Americans, right, is a little different from the Roman money, but also very similar, right? We put heads on it too, don't we? We put heads of presidents and things like that. Or, you know, Ben Franklin. Yeah, not president, but important. But we also put on there, in God we trust. Now, in a way, that is just as idolatrous as saying the son of the divine Augustus. Amen. Right? Because what do we really trust in? I think oftentimes we trust in money. Right? We trust in having enough of this stuff. We're happy if we have more. We're sad if we have less. We know that if we have more of it, then everything's going to be fine. If we have less of it, things are going to go badly. Absolutely. So now, does that mean that money is inherently bad? No. But it does mean that when our allegiance is to that, then we have forgotten in whose image we were made. We were not made to acquire more and more and more for me. We were made to acquire, not to acquire at all, we were made to share, made to love, made to bless, made in the image of the one who created all of creation, right? That's an act of giving. And then we're also made in the image of Christ, right? Because God says in Genesis, let us make humankind in our image, right? Yeah. Who do you think God is talking to? Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's what I think anyway. And so if Christ is there, then we are also made in the image of Christ. And so, I know this seems very kind of elementary, but think about it. If we're made in the image of Christ, and Christ's life was all about giving, then our life is all about giving. Not about taking, not about accumulating, not about being over top of someone else, but about being servants, about loving sacrificially. So, what do we give to Caesar? We give to Caesar what we have to because it's part of being part of society. And it's the possibility that good things will be done with it. But what do we give to God? Our all, right? Amen. There's the old hymn, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, right? Why? Because we bear his image. We bear his likeness, and we get to spread that image into the world. Even in the midst of a time in which we are all so horribly divided, even in a time in which we ignore the image of God on the people with whom we disagree, we have to remember that all of us are made in the image of Christ. And that our job is to give to God what is God's. That is all of our allegiance, all of our love, all of our trust, all of our strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen?
Amen.